In reading today with verse number 1, the Bible says, "On that night could not the king sleep, and he commanded to bring the book of records of the chronicles, and they were read before the king. And it was found written that Mordecai had told Bigthana and Teresh, two of the king's chamberlains, the keepers of the doors, who sought to lay hand on the king Ahasuerus. And the king said, 'What honor and dignity hath been done to Mordecai for this?' Then said the king's servants that ministered unto him, 'There is nothing done for him.' And the king said, 'Who is in the court?' Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king, to hang Mordecai on the gallows that he had prepared for him. And the king's servant said unto him, 'Behold, Haman standeth in the court.' And the king saith, 'Let him come in.' So Haman came in, and the king said unto him, 'What shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor?' Now Haman thought in his heart, 'To whom would the king delight to do more honor, or to do honor more than to myself?' And Haman answered the king, 'For the man whom the king delighteth to honor, let the royal apparel be brought which the king useth to wear, and the horse that the king rideth upon, and the royal crown which is set upon his head. And let this apparel and horse be delivered to the hand of one of the king's most noble princes, that they may array the man withal whom the king delighteth to honor, and bring him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaim before him, "Thus shall it be done to the man whom the king delighteth to honor."' Then the king said to Haman, 'Make haste, and take the apparel and the horse, as thou hast said, and do even to Mordecai the Jew that sitteth at the king's gate. Let nothing fall of all that thou hast spoken.' Then took Haman the apparel and the horse, and arrayed Mordecai, and brought him on horseback through the street of the city, and proclaimed before him, 'Thus shall it be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor.' And Mordecai came to the king's gate. But Haman hastened to his house mourning and having his head covered. And Haman told Zereth his wife and all his friends everything that had befallen him. Then said his wise men and Zereth his wife unto him, 'If Mordecai be the seed of the Jews before whom thou hast begun to fall, thou shalt not prevail against him, but thou shalt surely fall before him.' And while they were yet talking with him, came the king's chamberlains in haste to bring Haman to the banquet that Esther had prepared." Now, we've been going through the book of Esther in my Sunday school class. Most of you probably are familiar with some of the things that take place in Esther. In chapter number 1, we know that Ahasuerus was the king. He had this big banquet in Persia and invited all of his friends and all of the princes from around to come through this vast party that lasted for months and months, and showed them his kingdom. And at the end of that, he had this drunken party, and he got drunk, and all of his friends got drunk, and he thought, "You know what? I've got a beautiful wife by the name of Vashti. I'm going to ask her to come in and parade herself around essentially naked in front of all of these men." Well, Vashti said, "I ain't doing it." Well, so all these other men decided, well, if Vashti, the queen, is not going to obey the king, then we better convince him to get rid of her, because our wives are not going to listen to us if the queen can get away with it. And so he deposes Vashti. He gets rid of Vashti as the queen. So you come to chapter number 2, he goes a few days, months, maybe even a year or so, and not having a queen. And one day he decides, "You know what? I think I'd like to have another queen." And so he calls his counselors in, and his counselor says, "Hey, we're going to go find you a king." And so they go all throughout the province, and they find all these young virgins, and they bring them in, and they prepare them to see the king for a year. They give them the right diet, they give them all of the right perfumes, all of the cosmetics and everything. And at the end of that year, they would essentially go and spend one night with the king. And the king would decide if he wanted them to be queen or not. And so they start this process, and all these women go in, and then it becomes Esther's time. Now, When I was studying this, I believe that Esther didn't sleep with the king that night. Now, there is not biblical evidence of that, but I just take what's being read. I think Esther said, you know what, I'll go see the king, but I'm not sleeping with the king like the rest of them has. Because there was something different about Esther. And after that night, King Ahasuerus said, hey, that's who I want to be queen. And so she is queen. The thing about it is that she is a Jew. She was not Persian. And so the king didn't know that, and all of the counselors didn't know that, and so now you have Ahasuerus having a Jewish queen. Well, then the story goes that there were two guys that decided they were going to kill the king, King Ahasuerus. Well, Mordecai, we're introduced to Mordecai. He was Esther's uncle, and he sat at the gate, and Mordecai got word that these two men were plotting to kill the king, and so he gave word to the king. And the king was able to foil the plot and was able to live. And the Bible says that on that night, the king rewarded him nothing. Now, we're going to find that 5 years later, God is going to use that to bring to the mind of Ahasuerus. But when you look in chapter number three, it is, chapter number two, where Mordecai saves the king does nothing for him at that time. When we come to chapter number three, there's a guy by the name of Haman. He becomes the second highest official in the kingdom, and every time he would go through the gate, he expected everybody to bow and give reverence to him. But Mordecai said, I'm not doing that. I'm not bowing to you. I'm not giving you reverence. I only bow and give reverence to one, and that's God. And so Haman kind of got that in his craw. And Haman decided, you know what? I'm going to kill the entire Jewish race. And so he goes to King Ahasuerus and he asks the king for permission to be able to put to death all of the Jews that are in the province. And the king gives him the authority to do that. And so they, through a process of casting lots, they decide on a date in the future. Some people believe that it was a year in the future, so that there would be a lot of different things that could take place. But the decree was signed and it went throughout all of the province that on this certain date, all of the Jews are going to die. When Mordecai hears of that, he says, you know what, we've got to do something about that. We just can't sit back and let this thing take place. And so Mordecai goes to Esther and he tells Esther, you've got to do something. If you don't do anything, God will raise up somebody else. And if you don't do anything, do you think you're going to be spared? And Esther said, well, you know, all right, I will do something. And probably the most famous verse in the book of Esther is chapter number 4 and verse number 16, where Esther says this to Mordecai, go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan and fast ye for me, and neither eat nor drink 3 days nor night. I also and my maidens will go fast likewise, and so will I go unto the king, which is not according to the law, and if I perish, I perish. Esther said, you know what? I'm going to go to the king. I'm going to plead for the Jewish people, and if it costs me my life, then it will cost me my life, but I am going to do something about it. And then in chapter number 5, we talked about last week in my class, that Esther decides that she is going to prepare a banquet for the king and Haman. And so she goes and sees the king, and when she is invited in to see the king, she says, you know, hey, I want to have a banquet. I've prepared a banquet for you and Haman, and I want you to come and eat with me. And so they go get Haman, and Esther sits down with the king and Haman, and the king says, tell me what you want. And she says, here's what I want. I want you to come back again tomorrow, and I'm going to prepare another banquet for you and Haman. And on that day, then I will tell you what I want. I told my class that has to be of God for the king to say okay. Because if I was the king, and Shelby raised her hand last week, if we were in charge, we would have said, we're not waiting another day. We want you to tell us right now. But the king did not do that. He said, okay, we'll come back tomorrow. And so Haman goes home, And when he gets home, he tells his wife how great he was because he got to meet with the king and the queen. And he began to talk about how wealthy he was. He began to talk about his possessions. And he began to talk about how Mordecai wouldn't bow and give reverence. And so his wife and his friend says, "Why don't you get rid of Mordecai? Why don't you build some gallows and hang him up on those gallows and just get rid of him? And that way you don't even have to contend with him." And when you come to the last part of chapter number 5, that is exactly what Haman does. In the middle of the night, he goes out and he has these gallows built, 50 cubits, or that is 75 feet in the air, so everybody could see it. So that's where we are when we come to chapter number 6. And so chapter number 6, I've just entitled our lesson this morning, A Difference That a Day Can Make. Have you ever had a day in your life when you woke up and started out your day with joy, peace, and contentment, only to end the day in total despondency? Have you ever had a day like that? Man, it started out great, and before you went to bed, it turned upside down. I'd given you a definition for despondency. It means sinking or dejection of spirits at the loss of hope, loss of courage at the failure of hope, or in deep affliction, or in the prospect of insurmountable difficulties. 21 years ago, just about this time of the year, on a Wednesday morning, I woke up and I started my day out with focus and confidence and happiness. I went through my Wednesday routine by studying for my evening message that night that I would bring to the church at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, as I always did on Wednesday. I left and went to see my shut-ins that afternoon. And for a number of years, I always cooked a meal for our church family on Wednesday night. And so I went and I cooked that meal. We had church that afternoon and that evening, and all was going well. But before I pillowed my head that night, my world would come crashing down. My life would take a dramatic turn. My day would turn into despondency. I've said this, I hope you've never had one of those days. But I'm sure most of us have, because most of us in here have lived a while. It may not be the extreme that I went to or that I experienced, but I know life has a way of giving you a few days like that in a lifetime. It may come in many forms. Perhaps it was the day your spouse came into your room and asked for a divorce. It might be your boss telling you that your services were no longer required at the company. It might be that you had a doctor's appointment and that doctor told you that you had a very serious disease. Or maybe one of your children gets sick. Or perhaps you receive a phone call telling you that someone you love very much has died. Or it might be the day you found out that a child had committed a crime and was calling you from jail. And as I said, on and on we could go. But I'm quite sure almost all of us could stand up and say, you know what, I've had some of those days. I got up that morning, everything was wonderful, everything was joyful, and before I went to bed, it turned completely upside down. In our story today, you have two men. You have Haman, and you have Mordecai. They started out the days from two totally different spots in their lives. Haman is walking on the mountaintop. He's feeling invincible, confident, and full of joy. He has just had a private meeting with the king and the queen the day before in chapter number 5, and he is set to have another meeting this very day. He decided last night that he was going to get rid of his enemy, Mordecai. He has the support of his wife and friends in this matter. And all he needs now is for the king to give him permission to have his enemy killed. He feels very confident this will happen because, after all, the king had already granted him permission to kill a whole race of people, the Jewish race. What would one man be, I've said. Mordecai is walking in the valley. He is the opposite of where Haman is. There's been a decree passed that all the Jews are going to be killed on a certain day. He just had another confrontation with Haman the day before where he refused to stand and give him reverence. He knew Esther was going to meet with the king and Haman was going to ask for the lives of the Jewish people. He didn't know how this was going to turn out. Would the king grant the request or the king have Esther killed right there on the spot for not telling him earlier that she was a Jew? There was much uncertainty for Mordecai that day. But before the day is over, Haman is going to be killed, and Mordecai's fellow citizens are going to be saved, and Mordecai is going to be honored with a parade through the streets by Haman. Let's look at this chapter. Number one, we have the king cannot sleep. The king cannot sleep. You see that in verse number 1 down through verse number 3. The Bible says that he's trying to sleep and he cannot sleep. And so because he cannot sleep, he thinks about something that he can read that will put him to sleep. And of all things, he decides for them to bring in the records books, the history books. He said, I want you to bring in those records and I want you to read them to me. And as they begin to read that, they come across this entry where Mordecai had saved his life and had not allowed the king to be killed. The king wonders, was there anything done for Mordecai? Was he rewarded? Was he taken care of for sparing my life? And at this same time, the Haman comes in, but they say, you know what? Nobody has given Mordecai any rewards. I've asked you two questions. Do you think it was an accident that 5 years later that the king could not sleep? He asked for the records to be read to him. Do you think it was just a coincidence that Mordecai 5 years earlier had spoiled the plot to kill him, and that the king did absolutely nothing for him, just essentially forgot it for 5 years, and then all of a sudden, the night before Esther is going to come and see him, and before Mordecai is going to come and see him, that he just can't sleep, and God says, hey, why don't you read the record books? If you believe it was an accident, you're crazy. It was God working. It was God moving, and it was God putting in place. And listen to me, 5 years earlier when Mordecai saved the king's life and the king didn't reward him, listen to me, that was God working even then, because he knew that he was going to use that 5 years down the road. Have you ever had anything happen to you in your life and you didn't see the benefit, or you didn't see God working or using it until later in life? I have many times. That's exactly what is taking place here. God is moving. God is orchestrating the events. I've asked you this question. Do you think it was just coincidence that Haman showed up at the right time? The king is asking them in verse number 1 through verse number 3. The king is saying, you know, hey, what did we do to honor Mordecai? And at the same time that he's asking that, Haman shows up in the gates because he's wanting to ask for the life of Mordecai. That's not coincidence, my friends. That's God putting people in the right place at the right time to accomplish his will in his life. In verse number 3, the king says, what honor and dignity have we done to Mordecai for this? Then the king's servants that ministered unto him said, there is nothing done for him. And the king said, who is in the court? Now Haman was come into the outward court of the king's house to speak unto the king to hang Mordecai on the gallows that appeared for him. Ephesians chapter 1 and verse number 11. In whom also we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Do you think things happen to you in your life by accident? Do you think your life is just a matter of circumstances? I'm telling you, everything about your life is directed by God. Bible says he knows the very hairs on your head. You don't even know that about yourself. Anybody ever count your hairs? Now, I could do that a little bit easier than you could because I have less to do. But God knows everything about you. God's moving and God's putting people in your lives, and God is taking people out of your lives. And Paul says in Ephesians, he worketh all things after the counsel of not our will, but of his will. We love this verse, Romans 8 and 28, and we know that all things work together for the good. Well, who's making them work together for the good? It's God. He's moving. He's working in our lives. He's taking difficult things. He's taking hard things. And he's making them turn out for the good in our lives if we trust him. I like Matthew 10, verse number 29 through verse number 31. Are not two sparrows sold for a farthing, and one of them shall not fall to the ground without your Father, but the very hairs of your head are all numbered. Fear ye not, therefore, ye are more valued than many sparrows. Colossians 1, 16 through 17. For by him were all things created, that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him, and he is before all things, and here it is, by him all things consist. Psalms 115, verse number 3. But our God is in the heavens. He hath done whatsoever he hath pleased. I wish I could sit here and tell you and explain to you why God did certain things in my life. I wish I could sit here and explain to you why some of the difficult things, why God allowed that to come into my life, but there's a lot of things that's happened in my life that I don't know why God allowed. I know when I get to heaven, I'll know. I know what Isaiah says, his thoughts are not our thoughts, and his ways are not our ways. But you know, one of the things that I've learned in 60 years of living is that God's ways are always right. No matter if I understand them or if I don't understand them, hey, he's working in my life to bring me to a place where he wants me to be. We see that in this text. One of the things that you don't see in Esther is you don't see the name of God anywhere in it, but you see the hand of God moving and working in the lives of all of these people. So we have the king couldn't sleep. The second thing is the king wants to know how to honor a man that has pleased him. We see that in verse number 4 through verse number 9. Haman, he comes into the king, and the king sees Haman, and he says, Haman, there's a guy that I really want to honor. Boy, he has done something special, and I want to honor him the way that he needs to be honored. Remember last week we talked about the pride of Haman? Haman began to think, I wonder who he wants to honor. He got to thinking about everybody, and according to those scriptures there, verse number 6, the last part of verse number 6, Haman thought, you know what? There's nobody else for the king to honor but me. Look at all the things I've done. Look at who I am. I've eaten with the king and queen. He's elevated me. Hey, if the king is going to honor anybody, it's going to be me. And so the king says, well, how would you honor that person? Haman begins to think, and he doesn't think about honoring anybody else. He thinks about the kind of honor he would like to receive. If you're going to get honor, you want the best, don't you? Now, if you're honoring somebody else, you'll kind of give them the second best. But boy, if you want to be honored, you want absolutely the best. And so here's what Haman says. Hey, here's the best way to honor. Get the royal apparel. Get the robe that you wear on the throne. Your personal robe, king. Get that and you take it to him. Not only that, but get the crown that you wear, and you can put that crown on him, and get your horse, the king's horse, and allow him to ride on that horse. Get the highest official you can to take all of that to Mordecai, or to this man. Because when a high official would go there, it'd be an entourage go. So it would be really a big deal. And so Haman says, man, if I was going to honor somebody, that is exactly the way that I would do it. And boy, here's where things are fixing to change. The king says, I want to honor Mordecai. Now Haman had come to get permission to kill Mordecai. And now the king is saying, hey, go get Mordecai, take my robe, take my crown, and take my horse, and put Mordecai on him and parade him through the streets. Mordecai came in there full of snuff and huff. He was a big dude. But I wonder what he thought when the king says, hey, let's go honor Mordecai. He does it. One of the things that I was wondering when I was studying this, you know, Mordecai wouldn't bow and give reverence to Haman. But I wonder if Haman was required to bow and give reverence to Mordecai when he gave him the king's robe. Now, I don't know, the text doesn't say, but it's just one of those things that I wonder. I'm telling you, God's got a sense of humor. The Bible has a sense of humor if you read it. I thank God, you know, in my mind, I see Haman having to take this and I see Haman having to bow and give reverence to him. Because when God humbles people, he doesn't do it half-baked, my friends. He does it real well. I can experientially tell you that. But he parades him through the town. Number three, I talk about Haman's world crashing down. Haman goes from a mountaintop to the valley in just a few moments. I think all of this takes place really early in the morning because remember, in the evening, he's got to have this banquet with the king and Esther again. So he shows up really early morning. We know that because the king couldn't sleep. And so in the first part of the day, not only does Haman not to get permission to kill Mordecai, but he has to honor him. And then he has time after he has done that to go home and I guess change clothes, prepare for the banquet at night. And so when you read the text, the Bible says that he's mourning and that he goes home mourning. And he has his head covered. That is a sign of shame. That is a sign of sorrow. When he gets home, he starts complaining to his wife, crying to his wife, Zerah. And the Bible says that he calls all of his friends. He has all of his friends there. And he tells them this story, what has taken place. And here is what they say. If that has actually taken place, if you've actually paraded Mordecai down through the city, then probably what's going to happen is that you're going to be dead before night. Here's another one of those things that I wonder. Doesn't say in the text. But why didn't they say, we'll help you escape? Now, if somebody's going to kill me, my wife's going to protect me. She's going to call Aaron and say, Aaron, help him escape. Bring money, bring a car, bring a gun, bring something. My wife didn't want me dead. She wants me alive. Every time I get ready to go somewhere, like on Thursday, I had to take a little trip. And so before I walk out the door, I said, baby, you want me to tell you where all my stuff is, all my money and all that stuff is, so you don't have to go looking for it? Oh, no, I just want you to come back safely. She'll never find it if I don't tell her. Y'all have to take care of her. She'll be broke. But when I read this text, I kind of say, why don't they say, all right, Haman, hey, we're going to help you escape. We're going to protect you. But they don't do that. Here's what they say. If this is what is taking place, essentially, you're going to be dead before night. The night before, they were saying, hey, build those gallows and kill Mordecai. Wishy-washy people. You like wishy-washiness? I don't. I like black and white people. This is the way it's going to be, and it's the way it's been all my life. Because I one thing I am is consistent. I may not be right, but one thing about it is I'm consistent. CJ can tell you everything that I'm going to do every day of the week. And I never get out of that. You know, if I don't come home at the right time, she wonder what's happening, you know, because I come home basically at the same time. I eat the same kinds of foods. You know, I'm just the same. Well, here, the day before, they were wanting to kill Mordecai, and now they're saying, you know what? Well, you're going to die. Can you imagine what Haman must have felt like in that day, the morning time? He was on the mountaintop, and before the day is over, he is in total despondency. Can I tell you, our world's on the mountaintop when they're talking about God. God can't do anything to us. We're in charge of this world. We're going to do what we want to do, and there's nothing that God can do about it. Can I tell you, there's coming a day when they're going to be in despondency, because my Bible says that every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is King. But you know what, Mordecai, he started out that day in despondency. The decree had already been signed on a particular day. All the Jews were going to be killed. He knew that Esther was going to go to the king that day and beg for the life of the Jews, and he didn't know what was happening, because if you read the text and study the text, the king did not know that Esther was a Jew. What was going to happen to Esther when she began to beg for the life of the Jewish race? What if the king began to think, you know what, you didn't tell me you was a Jew when I appointed you king. And what if he had her killed and it was all going to go away? But you know what? Mordecai got honored that day. Not only did he not die that day, but he got to put on the king's robe. He got to put on the crown. He got to ride the horse. And he was carried into the city. And everybody was knowing that Mordecai was somebody. But you know what? He didn't let it go to his head. Because if you read the text, the Bible says that after that happened, Mordecai went back to his normal routine, sitting at the gate. There's a song that we sing mostly on Sunday night. It's a song that I have always loved. It's a song that is entitled Joy Comes in the Morning. The song says this: if you've knelt beside the rubble of an aching, broken heart, all of us have done that, haven't we? When things you gave your life to fell apart, I don't know if you've been there, but I've been there. You're not the first to be acquainted with sorrow and grief, but the master promised sunshine after rain. To invest your seeds and trust in God in mountains you cannot move. You've risked your life on things you cannot prove, but to give the things you cannot keep for what you cannot lose. Now that's the way to find the joy God has for you. Hold on, my child. Joy comes in the morning. Weeping only lasts for the night. Hold on, my child, joy comes in the morning. The darkest hour means that dawn is just in sight. Yes, the darkest hour means that dawn is just in sight. It's just in sight. I don't know where you're at this morning. You don't know where I'm at this morning. But you're either up on a mountain, or you're down in the valley, or like Paul says, the daily cares of the church are somewhere in between. But I do know this, as I used to tell my church all the time, if you've never had the rug pulled out from under you, get ready, it's going to happen to you at some point in your life. There are many here that's had that. I had that. I was 40 years of age before it ever happened to me. But there's one thing that I can tell you. Even in those darkest nights, joy is going to come in the morning. Mordecai, he woke up in despondency, but before the day was over, he was shouting, praise the Lord and hallelujah. God, we love you today, and we're grateful for your word.